But thank you all for staying this late. It's not self-evident. Some of us have work to do tomorrow. So I'm very grateful that you're here at this late hour. So I'm Joe. I'm the president of Bite Back. We're an animal rights organization that celebrates its 20th birthday this year. We've been up and about for 2 decades now, doing grassroots activism for animal rights and animal liberation. So I'll be talking about briefly about what we have been doing in those 2 decades, and I've been active for almost 10 years, and I'll give you some modest reflections on what I think is the way to go for us as a movement, as an animal liberation movement. First off, I want to say that although I will be sharing what I think is valuable, that doesn't mean you have to think it's valuable. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm completely off the mark here, and I'm willing to learn if someone has positive or constructive feedback. I'm always willing to listen to what you have to say. So my presentation, though, is in Dutch. So for people focused on Dutch, there's a bit of both. There's English and there's a Dutch presentation. So we've been, this is what I just said a moment ago. So I can skip that. So Bite Back has been around for 20 years. This is a picture of one of our first demos we did in front of a fair where animals, ponies, have to like walk around the carousel all day, every day to entertain children. And we were one of the first organizations to try to halt it. A few years ago, it got banned in Belgium in law, so they can't do it anymore today. And last year, last summer, the last carousel closed, had to close because of the law coming into effect. So our initial focus was on all different kinds of animal abuse, from animal testing to fur to circuses to animals in the industry. And we did so for the bigger part of those 20 years. Today we focus on 3 campaigns specifically because we think it's more efficient and more effective, and because there are a lot more animal rights organizations now than there were 20 years ago, and all organizations are focusing on certain areas, which I think is a good thing, so we can focus more in depth instead of trying to cover all the bases. So Bite Back is also a total liberation organization. We think that all forms of oppression are connected to one another. That doesn't mean that all have the same method we have to use to try and stop it, but we do think that they're all connected to one another, that solutions to oppression has to be structural, not just focusing on individuals, but focusing on policy levels and focusing on units of power. We think that individuals have less power than, for instance, people in governance or bigger companies. And we think that inherently an animal rights movement is a movement of allies. Animals cannot speak for themselves, although they do have voices. We need to amplify them, but we cannot communicate with them as other oppressed humans and non-human beings alike are. So we are inherently a movement of allies, which makes this a completely different kind of movement than other liberation movements. So we're a non-subsidized organization, and since 2019 we have 3 employees on board. We have a network in Belgium and in Europe and in the world, and we are represented both in Belgium and the Netherlands, those two being completely separate organizations. So we've worked with Animal Equality in Germany, but also Esser Animali in Italy, Aldo Socatores, organizations from other movements, the anti-arms movement, for instance. We work together with sanctuaries, some political parties, and other sanctuaries as well. So we've been known to do all different kinds of campaigns and actions. So we do pressure campaigns, but also disruptions, protests, and pickets. But we also focus a lot on education. This is one of our movie screenings we did in Leuven, Louvain. We have been focusing a lot on vegan outreach, but we're phasing that out, and I'll explain why. And we also do lectures like this one I'm doing right now. So today we focus on three campaigns. That's Free the Dolphins. Belgium has only one dolphinarium left. It's in Bruges. We used to have four or five. Those all got phased out. And in the French-speaking part in Wallonie and in Brussels, there is a law in effect that prevents cetaceans and zeezoogdieren are sea mammals, marine animals, to be mammals, marine mammals, to be kept in confinement. And we don't have that rule or that law in Flanders. And we are fighting to have the last, to put that law in effect and have the last dolphinarium closed. The Minister of Animal Welfare has announced in his that he will close, that he will put that legislation into law in this legislation, so before 2024 or 25, sorry. So Free the Dolphins, stop the animal industry and animals at the crossroads. So that's Free the Dolphins. Bite Back has been picketing the Bruges Dolphinarium for close to 9 years, sorry. With not that much of effect. We've been focusing mostly on visitors and trying to persuade them not to visit the dolphinarium without that without much effect. So now we've switched since 2021. We've switched to a pressure campaign, and we have tried to pressure the Secretary of Animal Welfare to put this legislation in action, to put this money where his mouth is. We do so specifically because we have got a criticism, which is a legit criticism, that we are only focusing on a place that has 8 animals, while thousands and thousands of animals are being slaughtered every day. And we're only focusing on these 8. And in all honesty, we're using Free the Dolphins of Dolphine Vrij. We're using it to learn lessons in pressure campaigning. We're collaborating with Traxi, which is a organization of Vredesactie, the anti-arms organizations, which is training us to do pressure campaigning, to do communications, etc. We also try to educate our activists and our personnel. And we try to do actions that are have a very low threshold, so that a lot of people can join in and can, you know, make a mark in stopping the last dolphinarium in Belgium. So that's Free the Dolphins. This is us in front of Minister Ben Weitz's cabinet to deliver the 11,000 signatures we collected for him to do what he'd said he would do. So our second campaign is Stop the Animal Industry. I invite you all at the march to close all slaughterhouses on the 18th in Brussels, Carrefour Europe, and the Central Station. We have always, in those 20 years, we've always picketed at stables, at slaughterhouses, at breeding farms. And we do so mostly through education, through film film screenings, lectures in schools, lectures in general, and an online presence. But we've also stood by other environmental organizations that have have much more know-how and have tried to stop stables from expanding. Sometimes successfully, sometimes with less success. So this is us in front of the biggest pig slaughterhouse in Belgium. It's in Uvel in Westerlo, and we symbolically disrupted the building being built. We've been present at from the first step of the initial licenses being requested at the city council, at city council meetings, and we still regularly attend that slaughterhouse with an annual campaign. We try to stay close to the developments there. For instance, when the slaughterhouse was built, they didn't have an environmental permit to build the sanctuary. They built it anyway. I invite you to build something and then do it without an environmental permit, and then see how long it'll take the government for you to stop doing what you're doing. But if you're a pig slaughterhouse in Belgium, then you can build the biggest pig slaughterhouse without an environmental permit. They got it when the place was already built, and we try to use these kind of facts to discredit the slaughterhouse. We specifically target it, or we pick it when there are not transportations being taken place. We fully support people doing vigils, but we think that we don't want to traumatize people and our activists, so we picket the slaughterhouse on days that there are no transportation, so anybody can join in without the risk of being traumatized by what they see in those the pigs being how the pigs are being treated in those trucks. Our third campaign is Animals at the Crossroad. We firmly believe in the intersectional struggle for social justice. Bite Backstats firmly stands in solidarity with anyone who experiences oppression and who does not conform to the societal norm. And in any way we can, we try to support people that depend on us or that want our solidarity. So that's so much for Bite Back. So after 10 years of activism within Bite Back, starting as a activist, what I am today, to being a member of the board, I have tried a lot of different kind of actions and protests. And after those 10 years, I have to conclude and I have to ask myself these questions. And that is, are we winning? Is this a fight that we're winning? Is the second question is, why don't people stay in our movement? So in those 10 years, the number of people I have seen starting with me or that were present in the movement when I started, and the people today, I can count them on two hands. So a lot of people quit this movement, this animal rights movement, and I wonder why. My third question is, why do that little number of organizations, why do we show solidarity to that limited number of organizations? So why aren't we more present in the anti-racism movement, in the feminist movement, LGBTQ plus movement? And my last question is, why does everybody love animals, but do that little few amount of people join animal rights, join the animal rights movement? So my question is, are we winning? So animal dairy consumption is globally is dropping a bit, but the sales of eggs is increasing worldwide. The HWO estimates that by 2050, the global demand for meat and dairy will double as to the numbers today. The number of animals slaughtered in Belgium is hardly stagnating or is even increasing. And the last thing is that the number of vegans in our country is staying stable. It's 1-2% of the population. And market research shows that people, after being vegan for a year, the vast majority of people stop being vegan. So these are, I didn't promise this would be like a great and enthusiastic story, but these are the hard questions we have to ask ourselves. How can we turn this around? So we are doing everything we can to make people go vegan. And my maybe unpopular opinion is that we are failing horribly at doing so. So we're trying to attain the social justice goal by going through consumer choices. We're hoping that if we, the line of reasoning goes as follows, if there are a lot of vegan options, then people will go vegan. If there are a lot of people who go vegan, then the demand for meat and dairy will decline. And a question in decline, if fewer people eat meat and dairy, will make sure that there's less meat and dairy available, and less meat and dairy available will lead to the destruction of the animal industry, and then we'll have animal liberation. So this is the line of reasoning that we're doing. This is what everyone has behind the scene, is what everybody is thinking when we are trying to promote a vegan lifestyle, is the more people we make vegans, the more easily we'll get animal liberation. But There are huge, gigantic flows of subsidies going through the industry. So maybe if there weren't a lot of subsidies going to the industry, and maybe if our consumer choices would lead to a change to social justice change, then maybe our line of reasoning would be correct. But as we have it now, there are huge flows of subsidies, even in our country, to keep the industry alive. That's the first reason. For instance, in Belgium, if you are a principal in a elementary school, you can get subsidies to buy milk for students, for your pupils. While the High Council of Health in Belgium dissuades people from giving milk to children, not because of health reasons, but because of environmental reasons. So even though the High Council of Health says so in Belgium, you can still get, as a principal, subsidies to feed pupils milk. So there are huge subsidies flows from the EU to Belgium to sell veal, for instance, or the carcasses of young cows. The second is that farmers in our country have a lot of political power, and maybe not individual farmers, but certainly their unions or their interest groups. So when you saw in Flanders, for instance, there was a crisis in government because of the sixth of in English is nitrous oxide, nitrogen oxide, is it? Our government almost collapsed in Flanders because the numbers of nitrogen oxide have to go down, and the burden has to be borne by farmers that live or have a industry in sensitive areas for the environment, and our government almost fell. In the Netherlands, a few weeks ago, a new party that represents farmers has won the elections by a landslide. And in the population, there is little to no support to take up animal rights, animals other than pets, other than companion animals, into the constitution. So people will go flexi, so they will reduce their meat and dairy intake. But like I said, only 1-2% turns vegan and stops doing so within a year. So my conclusion is that through the method, our means is clear, we want animal liberation, but our method to do so, being persuading individuals to stop eating meat, isn't getting us to our goal. So the focus on vegan outreach and vegan lifestyle isn't liberating animals for now. The long-term projections are just estimations and models. For instance, and I just want to say I've been down this road as well. My partners and friends, together we have created Try Vegan in Belgium, which is a campaign to persuade people to go vegan. And we used models in which we say if you go vegan for a month or a year, you save up to that many liters of water, you save that many animals. But these are just models and projections. They're not actually animals being saved. If I don't eat animals for the rest of my life, that doesn't mean that there are animals saved. That's not the way it works. So the promise of X amount of animals that we save is not true. Maybe it can be, maybe it will be, but for now it's not true. So we have to ask ourselves a very difficult question, which frankly hurts a lot, which is a difficult question to ask and to answer. If it turns out that we're not winning, then what are we going to do? What are we doing with our time, with our activism? How will we spend that time to attain that most important goal, being animal liberation? So I think, and I could be wrong, we need more pressure campaigns that focus on policy and companies. Because as individuals, we have a limited amount of power. We do have power, but it's a limited amount. And the crux of power lies with companies and lies with policies. We need more collaborations between different organizations. And we need more of support at least a part of the population. In transition studies show us that we don't need all of the population to join us. Only if we have 10%, then transition can begin. And that is exactly what we need to fight for. So I always advise people to watch the Cranky Vegan, Jake Conroy series on Are We Winning? You can find it on YouTube. Jake was involved in a very successful share campaign in the US. Bite Back invites him every few years to come and give a talk. And he goes by the name of the Cranky Vegan. He's not really cranky, just looks that way. And he has some very interesting stuff to say on the question, are we winning, on strategies and on tactics in the animal rights movement. There are two more things. First, I want to say we need to take better care of ourselves, better care of our community. Like I said, there are too many people coming into this movement, but also leaving our movement. People we have trained, people that have a lot of good ideas, people that have a lot of motivation, and because of certain reasons, they leave this movement and leave us with a whole new generation, which is a very good thing, but there's little education from one generation to another. So self-care is great. Self-care is like a very fashionable word these days, which is a very good thing. But self-care is great. Community care is much better. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of each other. Even if we don't know one another very well, then we still need to take care of one another. For instance, if you're doing a protest and you see people struggling with whatever they struggle with, please help them, please reach out to them, please start a conversation, see in what way you can help them. Some people have a much more difficult position in society because of norms in society, and if you have privilege, then please use that privilege to stick up for others or stick up for at those places or give them the floor in meetings, give them the floor when they are not allowed to, or they are given time to speak or the availability to stand up less than you are. If you want to make sure that if you know a lot of care, or if you're a therapist, or if you know how to do group care in an organization, please report as a volunteer, or please come and help the organization, whatever organization it is. And also meet each other in other settings than in the animal rights setting. It's very important that we try to make sure that there is more social cohesion in our movement between groups, in groups, and just meeting, doing potlucks, doing meetups is a very good way to build community. Listen to the experiences of other activists as well. They might be wrong, like I am. I might be wrong as well. But it's always better to learn from what other activists are telling you, especially if they have a more fragile position in society than you do. And please point organizations to their responsibility. If you see Bite Back doing things that you do not agree with, show us what we are doing wrong, and please point out what we're doing wrong, and so that we can take up responsibility. And please help. We all have a role to play in community care. And show solidarity with other movements. So with Bite Back, we've tried to work with Extinction Rebellion, other movements. We've tried to joined protest against fascist groups in Brussels, for instance. It's very important we keep on doing that. And if your organization can do that too, then please advise your organization, your board, to do the same. It's only because of the bigger picture, only because of other groups joining forces that we can achieve social change, because the animal rights movement is often seen as a fringe movement, as a movement that is very, as a high threshold to join. Maybe that's true, maybe it isn't, but there's not a lot of organizations reaching out to us to join forces, and that needs to change very quickly. A really good book I can recommend, and we sold it at the stall of Bite Back today, but we also do it. We can send it to you, is Beautiful Trouble. Beautiful Trouble is a great book with a lot of tactics, a lot of strategy, a lot of history of different movements. And there's also a very big part of the book online. So if you want to read a Beautiful Trouble, then please, by all means, do so. So, Solidarity with other movements. I think that was my last bit. So this is us at the, we Bite Back joins a lot of climate marches, and we see that the block of people, of vegans, animal rights people, gets bigger every year or every protest. So that's one way of trying to adhere to our principles. And maybe it's not a classic animal rights story, but it's certainly one that we want to underline, want to enforce. So my last slide, sorry, is sustainable activism. It looks a bit like community care, but animal rights activism is a heavy burden. We don't get a lot of wins, and we are confronted with horrible pictures and horrible situations where animals find themselves in. The most of the animals we are confronted with live horrible lives and die gruesome deaths. And that is a lot to take in and a lot to stand up for. So please share your experiences with others. Know your own strengths and your own weaknesses. There is no such thing as a scorecard which you have to cross out to be a good activist. I, for one, do not watch footage, do not watch movies. I do not go to vigils where I can see animals suffer, because I can't take it. If I do so, then I get burned out, and then I can't take up my part or do the things I do for the movement. So please know what your strengths are. I can give talks, I hope at least. I can organize protests, which I do. But for instance, like I said, vigils aren't my thing. So I try to know my strengths and my weaknesses, and I draw lines and I guard those lines. I'm with lines, I mean, I don't try to, I try to, that's my next point. I try to go and have fun. I try to do things that have nothing to do with animal rights movement, with the animal rights movement. And I don't feel guilty about it, because when I recharge, when I go and have fun, when I go do fun stuff, then I'm all excited and all fired up to come back to this movement and fight for animal liberation in the way that I think I can. So have fun, go take your time. Take your rest, visit sanctuaries, and I'm shamelessly going to make some advertisement for next, in 2 weeks there is the animal sanctuary, a vegan sanctuary in Diest, between Hasselt and Louvain, at the border of Brabant and Limbourg. Is an open day, 2 days, and you can go and hug animals that want to be hugged. Of course, you can force it on them. And a lot of animals, for instance, Rosa is one of our cows. We had her since she was 2 weeks old. She loves people, and she loves being petted and hugged, and she can't get enough of it. So if you're looking for a cow to hug, the life out of her, not the life out of her, but please come to the open days of Forest and Friends. We see a lot of animal rights people ask for guided tours or visit the sanctuary just to recharge, to see how animals can live, how they can live when they live in freedom, when they live free from harm. So Forest and Friends in 2 weeks, a definite must visit. Find people that think like you, and that you can form a community with. And maybe they don't think like you in every aspect of their thinking, but maybe your baselines converge. For instance, my baseline is that I don't deal with far right or fascists, but other than that, in the political spectrum, I'm willing to listen to and to engage with and to have a good time with, or to have some critical thoughts or engagement of thoughts with. And please try to fight for wins. They may not be that spectacular. For instance, freeing 8 dolphins or making sure that in Belgium we can't hold marine mammals anymore isn't that spectacular as freeing animals from the industry, but it's a definite win. And we need wins in this organization, this movement, so people get inspired, feel that victory, and then get fired up to come and do more. Possible solutions for the problems I said in the beginning of my talk is make activists, not necessarily vegans. Veganism is not the first step in your activism. Maybe it's even the last step. Help think and participate in pressure campaigns. There are a lot of work, and they're usually done behind the screens, pressure campaigns. and you need a lot of training for it, and that may sound like a very high threshold, but actually it's not. You can participate in pressure campaigns with Buyback. You can donate like an hour of your week to help with pressure campaigns, or you can get involved and organize protests. But pressure campaigns can do a lot more harm, we think, to the industry than creating vegans that may stop being vegan in a year. So that's what we meant with, that's what I meant when I said quit purity politics. It's not because people aren't vegan that they can't participate in campaigns, that they can't work together for animal liberation. Maybe along the road, what I have seen a couple of times is that people that are not vegan and they engage with animals on sanctuaries, or they engage with Buyback, and after a while they turn vegan anyway, and that's a very good win. But I had more, we had more from them, or we they contributed more by adding in pressure campaigns than being vegan. Show up in little and small things. For instance, with Buyback I do a lot of organizing. To me, that takes up a lot of time. It takes a lot of my energy as well. And I also want to do small and little things. So for instance, I'm a hunt saboteur. I try to sabotage the hunt whenever I can. And we do so with a small group. And in that work, I'm not a organizer. I just show up and I do what is asked of me. And those are like small tasks. I have to be at that place at that hour, and I have to join in the hunt sab. And then afterwards I go home. I have a good feeling because I know that hunters will have shot less animals the day afterwards when the hunt actually takes place. And this is one of the things I do just to drive my activism. And then the other day I start organizing, and that's a lot of responsibility. But the little things are hunt sabotage, where I just show up, do the thing, go home. And the bigger things are, like, for instance, the march, which I invited you for at the 18th of June. Other things are, like, in April 1st in Hasselt, which is an hour from here, we're doing a protest next Saturday, if you're up for it. And if you want to participate in the how to organize the march, you're more than welcome to. So for me, a divide between doing smaller things, doing bigger things is what gives me a lot of satisfaction. Be kind to yourself and have fun. It's your duty towards the struggle, towards the fight for animal liberation. If you go and have fun, and if you be kind to yourself, then there's more chance that you'll stay in this movement and you'll help us attain those goals. And also do what you're good at. I have people that are IT, that do IT as a job, but they don't want to do it in their spare time, and that's fine. If they're good in something else, then that's super. But we also have people that do IT and that say, I want to help you build your website. And because they're very quick with it, they're very fluent in it. So do what you're good at and what gives you energy to help us in this fight. Take care of people, and take care of people, most importantly, even if you don't know them. This is us at a protest in Antwerp. This is what we'll be doing next week. So we still do outreach, but in that outreach, we focus on animals and we try to convince people to help us in this fight. And veganism can be one of the subjects we discuss, of course. But first of all, we try to inform people on what happens with animals and how they can play their part. And as a last slide, please support organizations. There are a lot of people that want to, and I completely understand, that don't want to engage with an organization because it's a lot of work and you have to meet people and you have to go to meetings, and they want to do activism themselves. And in some cases, that's a very good idea. But the more efficient and the more effective thing to do is to support an organization. Always question yourself, like I do oftentimes. Like I said, I could be wrong in the things I'm telling you. Question yourself. Don't be too sure of yourself, the things you're thinking. Show solidarity towards others and learn from their experience and their struggle. Go for attainable goals and always put the animal, centralize the animals. So we have a tendency of looking towards famous people or other people, and we see them as shining examples, and then we're all disappointed when they stop being vegan or stop being animal rights activists after a year or two. that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Miley Cyrus is vegan. It doesn't matter if Joaquin Phoenix is a supporter of animal liberation. That's all great, but if they stop doing so, and I don't think Joaquin Phoenix will do so, but if they stop doing so, then we still have the plight towards animals. Then still the animals have the plight of what they're going through. So we have to centralize animals in this movement. We still have a long fight ahead of us, and giving up is not a possibility. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Oké. Wel, bedankt voor je presentatie. Het was heel inspirerend.
Dank je wel.
So, thank you, Joe, for the presentation. It was inspiring for us. Are there questions that you want to ask? Or presentation or speaker? I have one.
Okay.
Ik werk in een gemeente en mijn gemeente gaat nog naar het dolfinarium met de kinderen. Zijn jullie bezig met ook de gemeenschappen en zo voor om dit soort uitstappen te verbieden?
Ja. Is het oké als ik in het Nederlands antwoord? Dat gaat me tijd besparen. Dus ja en nee. Dus ja, we zijn daarmee bezig om mensen nog altijd te overtuigen van niet naar het dolfinarium te gaan. Maar het zou ons heel veel tijd kosten om naar elke verschillende bezoekersgroepen te kijken. Wat we proberen te doen is met zo weinig mogelijk moeite een zo groot mogelijke output te hebben. Dus wat we bijvoorbeeld willen doen is dat stel in de Carrefour, die geeft nog altijd van die pamfletten weg waar je korting kan krijgen. Of er zijn organisaties zoals Benefits at Work die aan sommige werknemers voordelen geven. Krijg je korting in de Efteling, korting in Boylan Sea Park. Die proberen we te targeten van doe dat niet meer. Dus stel dat je gemeente met heel veel kinderen elk jaar naar het dolfinarium gaat, dan is dat zeker iets om over te organiseren. En je zou kunnen organiseren door andere burgers, andere mensen van je weet van dit is niet oké dat we dat doen. We beginnen te mailen naar de burgemeester. We schakelen een organisatie zoals Whiteback die daarmee bezig is. Maar wie weet zijn er nog wel mensen, natuurvrienden of duikersorganisaties. Het is heel belangrijk om te kijken van wie zijn misschien partners van ons die dit ook willen, maar die niet de usual suspects zijn. Dus bijvoorbeeld mensen die heel veel, conservationists, dus mensen die heel veel met milieu in zitten, maar milieu in verre landen of een diersoort van verre landen, daarom niet noodzakelijk dieren uit de industrie, die kunnen misschien ook tegen het dolfinarium zijn en die kan je in je gemeente naar op zoek gaan en die kunnen misschien mee beginnen mailen. Je kan het gemakkelijker maken door een soort van Google Form op te stellen waar je de mailadressen dan naar de burgemeester van stuurt. Dus er zijn zeker mogelijkheden en als je wilt, willen we daar zeker mee over nadenken met Bike Bank. Dankjewel. Goedenavond iedereen, bedankt.